were surprised to find that God really was the way that he was. In the stories that he told, in the people that he hung around. It shocked them. They said, surely this can't be God. They challenged him, by what authority do you do these things that you do? Now, the way they say that today is, what organization do you have your license from? What school did you graduate from? And don't tell them Jesus Christ University, because they don't want to hear that. No, don't tell them that you were trained by a father in the house of the Lord. They don't want to hear that. Now, they want to know what seminary, what university, who gave you some license. And in some places years ago, if you didn't present some license when you hit the pulpit, they put you out. And so Jesus was constantly challenged, and I love the wisdom of God that came through him. He said, okay, I'll answer you if you can answer me this question. Was what John did, was it from God or was it of man? And they weren't about to say it was of man, because they knew everybody that was listening to that question would have stoned them. They said, we can't tell. Jesus said, well, neither will I tell you by what authority I do what I do. We finally understood in him, God telling himself completely out loud for the first time, how a man was really to be in earth. Before that, all we had was shadows, pieces, parts, but never the complete package. And Jesus said, this is so good, I'm not going to keep this to myself. I'm going to become a seed corn that will die. And I'm going to take the same spirit of Christ and invest it in you, because that's how valuable you are to the kingdom of God. So prophets couldn't do it. Priests couldn't do it. I know we generalized the book of Malachi, but primarily the book of Malachi was written to priests. Look at the message carefully. And we see that in the final message before God shuts down speaking for 400 years, is that he raises up all the issues that are really important. He said, if I'm a father, where's my honor? He says, will a man rob God? My answer to that is yes, and he'll rob you too. Just give him a chance. How many of you understand that it doesn't take faith to pay tithes? Huh? How many of you really understand that? It doesn't, brother, I'm just believing God to pay my tithes. No, you don't have to believe God to pay your tithes. Just do it. You know what the command is? Come on, you know what the word is? Just do it. And there were a number of questions. But he closes out with probably one of the most important ones, or at least concepts. And he says, I've got to raise up and send to you Elijah the prophet. And we know that he was a repairer of the altar. He connected Israel back to God. Prophetically, he had some serious warfare. There were prophets of Baal. The land was filled with it. And a challenge came, let's find out whose God is really God. You know, we're steamrolling toward that kind of thing. Well, in case you didn't know, I just told you. was steamrolling toward that kind of thing where the real God is going to display himself. Because there are many gods. And everybody feels that their God is just as legitimate as the other. But the Lord said, the reason I'm going to raise up that prophetic spirit and voice is because I've got to reconnect fathers to sons and sons to fathers. And if that doesn't happen, you will see a curse on the earth. And then he shut down talking. And what that speaks to me of is the fact that that final message was the thing I really want to leave before you, before I stop talking, is that there's a need for the father-son dynamic to raise up again. You see, I've had the privilege to preach to literally thousands of people at one time. You want to know the truth? That's not as meaningful to me. As to say that I have a son who will remind you of my ways in Christ. Because even after the greatest battle that Abraham and his 318 trained servants had won, and God began a conversation again, making him to know, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased that you did not accept any of the spoils of the war, because you made it clear that you can't be bought, and nobody's going to make Abraham rich. When you're rich, you don't even have to worry about anybody else making you rich. He was rich. But God said, I'm happy that you're not covetous and greedy. You know that enough is enough. I'm reminded of a story that I read about John D. Rockefeller in 1928, I think it was 1929, when he had made $1 billion, when $1 billion was really $1 billion, brothers. 1929. This was before inflation hit anything. And they said, Mr. Rockefeller, how much money is enough? You know, because most people couldn't even think in terms of $1 billion. They were barely surviving the Great Depression. And they just wanted a bowl of beans. Maybe go to work all day long for a dollar. And this man had $1 billion. They said, how much money is enough? He said, just a little bit more. Now, what that really tells you is that he was driven at that point more by greed than need. And a spirit of covetousness had gripped him rather than the reality that it really is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Abraham was not a greedy man. So God said to him, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That is, I am your protector and I am your salary. Because if you read the word reward and translate it from the Greek, I am your salary. I'm your provision. And that's two things that a son needs to be secure in. Is that his father will protect him and his father will provide for him. Now, most of the time, you know, when I go to Alaska, you see the cubs with mama. And if you see any cubs, this is what wisdom dictates. Turn and go in the other direction. You don't need a deep revelation for that. Because if cubs are around, mama's real close. And you don't want to tangle with mama. If she even get the scent of you near her cubs, and their sense of smell is incredible, because many times they can smell as far away as 30 miles. Now, there are two of you together. Don't worry about who can run the fastest.